Hi, I'm Andrew Connell, and in this screencast, we're going to look at a deep dive into creating Word add-ins for Office. Before we begin, let's look at the developer vision for the Office 365 development. It boils down to both users and data. What do I mean by users? Users want to be able to work with their devices and interact with all of their information using custom applications or some of the applications that have been provided by Microsoft, such as the Office clients as Word, Excel, Outlook, and PowerPoint, as well as custom applications that developers build. They want to work with them in a familiar environment with familiar user interfaces. For developers, we want to be able to build custom applications using a multitude of different platforms, from working in a mobile experience to working off a server-side product, something that's working on the desktop, or even just a standard web page. We want to be able to get to all of our data and provide these really good experiences for our users. We'll first do an introduction to Word add-ins. We'll look at how to develop Word add-ins. We'll look at how to read and write with documents, how to do bindings within a document, what the packaging and deployment story looks like, and some changes that have happened with Word 2016. An Office add-in can be seen as a web page loaded within an Office application. In some cases, it will appear embedded in line within the document. In other cases, it might appear as a task pane or within a message in Outlook. Note that the architecture for an Office add-in has been designed to work with both Office applications and Office web applications. Office add-ins allow for Office applications to be extended in such a way so that they can leverage web technologies such as Office 360, such as HTML5 and CSS for rendering user interfaces, as well as JavaScript and jQuery to add behavior. When you write your JavaScript code for an Office add-in, you can call REST APIs, such as those added to SharePoint 2013, to retrieve and update data from across the network. When you begin to design an app, you must pick one of the three different shapes. You can create a document-based app as either a task pane app or a content app. Alternatively, you can create a mail app that targets Outlook and Outlook Web Access. Every add-in for Office must be distributed with an XML-based manifest, which contains information about the add-in itself. For example, the app add-in manifest contains an address to a web page on the internet, which is used to load the add-in. The add-in manifest also includes information which indicates which Office applications it supports. The add-in manifest also defines the required capabilities, which represent the set of permissions that the add-in needs in order to run and complete its work. Office 2013 applications provide users with the ability to discover add-ins and insert them. In Word and Excel, this support is included in the ribbon inside of the Insert tab. When you drop down the add-ins menu from the ribbon, you can see recently selected add-ins. If you click the Select All, you'll be prompted with a dialog that allows you to look in various add-in directories. Once you find an add-in that you want to use, you can click the Start button to insert the add-in into the current document and start it up. After this, you can save the current document, which will then include the add-in. One reason to create task pane add-ins is that it provides Office users with familiar user experience. For example, Word and Excel have exposed many of its internal features using task panes, so task pane add-ins provide a familiar Office UI paradigm. Task pane add-ins are ideal for providing users with reference information. For example, a task pane add-in can perform an internet search or a lookup and provide references to information that can be inserted back into the current document. The slide contains a screenshot showing the add-in after it has been inserted in a document. In Microsoft Word 2013, different add-ins provide different user experiences. This add-in, which is available for free in the Office Store that you see here on the slide, allows the user to leverage the Merriam-Webster Online Dictionary to look up the lookup service to look up words and terms right from within Microsoft Word. Let's look at what's involved in developing an add-in. This slide is fairly self-explanatory and demonstrates just how easy it is to create and test your first Office add-in using Visual Studio. First, you'll create a new project using one of the project templates in Visual Studio. Next, you'll create the user interface for the add-in using HTML5 and CSS. After that, you'll add behavior to the add-in by writing JavaScript. And finally, you'll update the XML file, which serves as the add-in manifest. After that, you can press F5 to test and debug your add-in inside the Word client on your machine or in the Word web client. Visual Studio has a project template for add-ins for Office. These project types give you a starter project with a web page and a manifest. You must choose the add-in shape and the Office application that you're going to support. This slide shows the initial structure of a task pane add-in created with Visual Studio. In this case here, you'll see the top project is the actual web the project that contains the add-in manifest, and the bottom one contains support for the remote web. The remote web project is an ASP.NET website that contains HTML, CSS, and JavaScript files. There's integration with jQuery already included. The add-in manifest designer is going to allow you to modify some of the meta properties about your add-in. This one is showing a task pane add-in. It'll look different for other kinds of add-ins that we have in Office. There are times when it is also useful or necessary to examine or update the manifest XML. You can either view the XML by clicking the XML in the Explorer, in the Solution Explorer, and say View Code, or by just saying View Designer to see what we would see on the previous slide. Now each add-in has a source location which points to an entry point web page somewhere on the internet. Here's an example of a simple web page that's used to load a task pane add-in. Note that the page must link to any required CSS and JavaScript files that will be adding styles or behavior behind the add-in. Visual Studio automatically adds links for jQuery and ASP.NET Ajax. Also note that the page adds HTML elements, which are often created with IDs and/or classes. Now, there are some do's and don'ts when you're designing an add-in. You should provide hyperlinks to open web pages in a new browser window. This makes it easier to design an add-in that fits cleanly within a single host page. Within the host page, you can also use an iframe to host content and provide navigation bar if you need to change the contents of the iframe using JavaScript. Also consider how your add-in will provide informational messages to the user. Typically, this is done by adding HTML elements such as a div to the host page and dynamically writing text inside using JavaScript. Here's a list of things you should avoid. When creating hyperlinks, don't use A tags without a target attribute to open a link in a new browser window. You'll find that such links are going to be blocked by the Office UI if they attempt to take the user to a different domain. You should also avoid links which navigate the user to pages which do not allow them to return to the start page, as there's nothing similar to the back button inside the browser within the Office application. Also avoid interaction with the user using the poor man's technique of using JavaScript alert function, which has more restrictions inside of an add-in than it does when used inside of a browser. If you want an add-in to provide a custom menu to the user, you should understand that you have control of only the user's interface within the add-in, not any of the UI elements outside. You can override the add-in context menu that appears in the upper right-hand corner of the add-in. However, when creating the add-in, you have no control over customizing any other menus within the Office add-ins. Also remember that you have the ability to save custom properties as name value pairs using the Settings API. These name value pairs are saved with the current document with a task pane add-in and with content add-ins. With mail add-ins, property values are saved within Exchange along with the host message and or appointment. JavaScript is the language that you're going to use to execute code and behavior within the Office add-in. The JavaScript you write for an add-in will typically take advantage of the various JavaScript APIs supplied by the Office.js and other JavaScript library files for specific Office applications such as Word, Excel, and Outlook. In addition to the Office JavaScript APIs, the JavaScript code you write for an Office add-in can also take advantage of the ASP.NET Ajax library, jQuery, or any other JavaScript library that you use, such as Angular. The Office JavaScript API provides a top-level named Office object, which provides an initialized function. By overriding this function as shown in the code here, you can write the code that will automatically execute as the end of the initialization process when the add-in is started. A common approach is to register a jQuery document ready event handler inside of this function. When you press F5 within Visual Studio for a task pane add-in or a content add-in, Visual Studio will automatically add a registry entry that allows Office applications such as Word and Excel to discover the add-in, which makes it possible to add it to a document. Let's look at a demo of an Office add-in targeting Microsoft Word. Let's see how to create a new add-in for Word. I'm going to come over here and click on File, New Project, and I'll just stuff this on my C drive in my dev folder. Now, I'm going to create it as an app for Office and click OK. So it's going to ask me what kind of an app I want to create. In this case, I'm going to create a task pane add-in. Then it's going to say, where do you want this to work? And I'm just going to say, let's just do this in Word for right now. So what this is going to do is create two projects. It'll create one project for my add-in manifest and another one for the remote web. We can see now that our project has been created. So what did Visual Studio just do? It created a manifest for us that we can go modify. So here we've got Office App 1, we have a version, our provider name, description, etc., including the home page for it. Over here in home.html, created a very simple thing that just simply says welcome and added a button. Our button is called get data from selection. Inside of home.js, where our application is going to be doing all the work, you can see here that we've created a click handler here so that when we click on the button get data from selection, it's going to fire off the function get data from selection. So it'll write that out to the status window. Now, it's worth noting here of this function called that you see defined called office.initialize. This is very important. When you create an add-in for any of the Office apps, you're going to have to create a function called initialize on the Office object that's created and defined inside of office.js. And office.js will automatically be referenced right here in home.html. What this initialize function does is this is going to be called by the Office app when your add-in is loaded. This function must be finished. It must complete within 5 seconds. If it doesn't complete within 5 seconds, the Office hosting application will display a message saying that the application has not loaded and there's a problem. You're gonna have to reload the app. The reason for this is so that users don't think that Word or Excel is having a problem and that it's a custom third-party thing that's having a problem. So you wanna define this function and call it right away. Now let's move on to see how we can do some additional things and some more useful stuff inside of an Office add-in. In this demo, I want to show you how to write to a Word document using a Word add-in. So in this case, we have our manifest that's already been created. So if I look at my manifest, I have an app called Word App 1. It's Word App 1 demo about deployment. And I've also set this one up so that when I create a new document or when I start this, I want to create a new Word document. I could create a Word document and have it as my default document that I could start with. But in this case, we'll create a brand new one. Now, if I come over here and I look at this project, if I look at home.html, which is the home page for my application, this one does a few things. First, you notice that we have a reference to the office.js file. And then we also have a reference to app.js and a reference to home.js. So our application actually has a handful of buttons that are defined. We have button for adding content hello world, a button for adding content HTML, one for a matrix, one for a table, and one for open XML with 4 different options that we can select from. So let's see what this does. Well, the first file was app.js. Now all this one is, this is a stock file you get from the project template when you create a new add-in. And all it does is it defines a new object called app with an initialize function and a show notification function on them. The initialize function simply creates a new div and adds it essentially to the bottom of the page. Using CSS, it's pinned to the bottom of the page. Show notification sets values on that little div at the bottom of the page to let you do little notifications. Let's look at where our real work is being done, as in home.js. Now home.js is gonna first call a function initialize on the Office object. Office object is going to be coming from office.js. You have a requirement that you must define a function called initialize on the Office object, and you must call it within 5 seconds of your app being requested by the hosting Office application. The reason for this is that Office wants to ensure that the users get a good experience, and they don't think that the task pane add-in or the content add-in that you've created is actually going to cause a problem with the hosting application. So here, all I'm doing is using jQuery to define when the document is loaded, I'm going to call the function app-initialize, which we saw that on the previous app.js file, and then I'm going to wire up a couple of handlers to the buttons that we saw on the previous slide. Now, the first one here, adding content to Hello World, what that one's going to do is it's going to look at where the current cursor is using the selected data async and write out a string, Hello World. And then it has a callback when things succeed. The next one is going to add HTML. So here you see I've defined a little HTML fragment. I'm going to say set selected data async. I'm going to write out the HTML for that div that we just created. And the coercion type for this will be HTML. I didn't set the coercion type for the first one at the top. You see up here for text because text is implied. So here I've set the coercion type for HTML. The next one is a matrix. So here when I click the button for a matrix, it will create a matrix. Here's our first row for our table. So our first row is two columns, first name and last name, our second row, our third row, and our fourth row in the table. This one, I'll use the same set selected data async to add this table where my cursor is, pass in my matrix and say the coercion type is a matrix. Tables work almost the same way, except I'm going to be creating a table object. I'll set the headers for my table, and then I'll set the rows, where I have three rows inside of a two-dimensional array. Here's my first row, my second row, and my third row. And then finally, we'll set the data using the set selected data async, passing in the table, and then setting the coercion type equal to table. Now the last option is a little interesting here. The last option is using OpenXML. So here what we're going to do is I'm going to find out the actual file that the person selected. And if you recall, back on home.html, this selector that we have is using these different options. And each option points to a different file, which is just a bunch of XML. Now these files all live within the project. They're fairly big block of XML. This is all OpenXML. We're not going to dig through this, but just know that's an OpenXML representation of a table, a picture, a paragraph, and a chart. So here what I want to do is what I'll do is I'll use the jQuery to go get the file from our website. So here we have these XML files. I'm going to load the file using HTTP get. The data I get back is just text. And when it succeeds, it's going to pass back the value of the request we made back as this XML variable. I'm then going to say set selected data async. I'm going to pass in the data that we pulled back from the XML, but the coercion type is going to be Office Open XML. So let's see this work. I'm going to go ahead and click start. And it's going to create a new Word document. So here's our task pane app that we have showing up on the left. I'll first click Hello World and see some text get written out to Hello World. That works just like we expect. Let's go ahead and delete this text and let's add HTML this time. And there we go, now we have HTML that was added. And you can see here the headings even were respected based on how we set these up. How about a matrix? There's our table for a matrix. How about a office table? Well, it's going to look the same way as a matrix because we don't really have layouts defined, but you can see up here that we have our table controls that we can actually modify the formatting of this. Now, the last one's really interesting. This is the OpenXML. So here, let's just add a paragraph. So I'll click on OpenXML, and it'll go fetch some HTML or the XML from our website and write it out. What about if we want to do a picture? Here we've got a picture that it actually created. So that's an actual picture. What about a chart? There's an OpenXML representation of a chart. And what about, last but not least, how about a table? And there's a full formatted table with nice nice styling and stuff that's been defined. So here what you've seen is you can build an Office add-in and you showing different ways that we can actually write content to a document. Now let's look at reading and writing with documents. The JavaScript API for Word add-ins is quite extensive. This slide here is showing a picture that you'll find at the MSDN link at the top of the slide of all the different things that you can do. I just wanted to show this to you very briefly to show you what kind of documentation you can expect. This is really useful. Now there's a function called get selected data async, and it's used to read content from a selected region of the current Word document. So if I have some document, some content selected in the Word doc, I call this function and I'm going to get all the text that's been selected. The function setSelectedDataAsync is used to write content into the selected region of the current document. If there's no selected region, the content is added to the location where the cursor currently is. Now we have a concept of a coercion type, and it allows you to read and write content in different formats. The text coercion type, that's just straight strings. HTML is for HTML content. A matrix is for an array of arrays. A table is a table of rows and columns, and the OOXML is the Open Office XML format. That can be quite challenging to work with, but it's also quite powerful. Let's look at a demo of writing content to a selected region of a Word document. Let's take a look at how we can actually do bindings within a Word document and a Word add-in. What I have is another Word add-in that I've created, and I have a default document that's been set up. Now this default document already has some bindings in it, so I don't have to go through and set this up. It's done that using the content controls, and each content control has a specific ID. If I come over here and look at home.js, what home.js is gonna do is it's going to go load, it's gonna go initialize our app, and then it's gonna go set three different click handlers. The first one's gonna set our bindings. So let's look at that function. Here we're calling a function on create bindings. I'm going to look at the office context document bindings, and I'm going to call a function add from named item async. We have a content control on the page. We have a content control on the page here called first name, and we're going to pass in this content control is going to be of type text. We're going to create a binding inside of our add-in called first name. So even though these two values are the same, they're actually different things. This is referencing the content control in the Word document. This is the binding that we've defined. Now, later on, once I've created the bindings, I'm going to want to set their values. So I'm going to say office.select a binding named first name. When that happens, I'm going to set the data asynchronously. I'm going to set the value of Bob to that binding. And I can do the same thing for the other ones, for the last name and for the company. And then finally, I want to also set some handlers so that when I'm going to grab a hold of this binding for first name, and I'm going to add a handler, and my handler is going to be equal to when the office event type of binding data changed fires, I want you to call the function on binding data changed. What that will do is call this function right here that's simply going to write out a little notification that data changed. So let's see how this works. I'll go ahead and click Start. This will build my project and launch Word. So the first thing we need to do is we need to create our binding. So see here, we have a content control that's already been added, and it's got an ID of first name. We have another one here called last name. And finally, we have one called company. So here I'm going to go ahead and click Create Bindings. Now all of our bindings have now been created. If I click set binding values, it should set values on those three content controls. And sure enough, it did. Now, if I go make changes to one of these, like say Andrew, we'll notice that nothing happens in the little status notification at the bottom. However, if I register a binding event handlers and I make a change to this one now, when I lose focus, notice that it says the last name one changed. So in this quick, brief little demo, you saw how to create bindings, how you can actually write to bindings, and then how you can also respond to events in those bindings. Bindings are important because they make it so that you can read and write to specific areas in a Word document without having to worry about the user selecting a specific region. Word only supports binding to the rich text content control. The bindings are going to be created using a content control title, which serves as the ID. You can read and write bound content regardless of where the selected region is, and you can register event handlers to fire when the user updates any of that bound content. To add a content control, you must enable and show the Word Developer tab. Then you can add one or more rich text content controls to a Word document for binding. Also note that you must assign each content control with a unique title property because that is the ID that you will use to bind to the content control. The code listing here shows how to create bindings in JavaScript using the addFromNamedItemAsync function. Note that the first parameter, such as first name, is used to indicate which content control you want to bind to, so that's your ID. The third argument of ID first name is used to create a binding ID that will be used to retrieve the binding when you call office.select. Note that the call to office.select gets the binding used in the syntax of bindings pound followed by the ID of a registered binding. The code here is showing how to register an event handler on a binding using the addHandlerAsync function. This call also registers a callback function named onBindingDataChanged, which is called automatically when a user updates a bound context. Microsoft Word introduced content controls in Outlook and Office 2007. Content controls act as containers and user input controls for specific kinds of content. A valuable role of content controls is that they can be mapped to nodes within a custom XML part, which is an XML document with custom content, which is enabled and embedded within an Office document such as a docx file. With Office 2013, there's a new content control for repeating sections. A repeating section content control provides the capability to bind to a collection of nodes which typically represent the many side on a one-to-many relationship, as in the case with a single time summary document that has many time entities. When it's time to deploy an add-in, the actual deployment is similar to a standard website because you must make the web page for an add-in and the Office supporting files available on a web server. However, you must also publish the manifest to make the add-in discoverable for installation. IT administrators can designate a trusted app catalog via global policy objects or the GPO. Note that manifests for mail add-ins must be uploaded to Exchange 2013's add-in catalog. SharePoint 2013 implements the app catalog using a site collection created from a special site template. The app catalog is designed for Office 365 and for private corporate networks, and it's available only to users who have been granted access. It provides users with a catalog of pre-screened and pre-approved apps. An app catalog can be used to deploy apps developed in-house by third-party ISVs. Note the app catalog in SharePoint supports document-based apps, such as task pane apps and content add-ins. As already mentioned, the SharePoint app catalog hosted using SharePoint 2013 site collections. The actual catalog is simply a document library to which the add-in manifests are uploaded to. The administrator can configure an add-in security setting that controls who can see and install the apps listed within the app catalog. A file share app catalog provides the easiest way to deploy apps for Office within an organization. It does not require either SharePoint 2013 or Exchange 2013. Instead, add-in manifests are simply copied to a Windows file share. Of course, the user desktops running the Office add-ins must be configured with the correct file share path to discover the add-ins for Office, which can be done manually or by a user or centrally using group policy objects. Now let's talk about some of the changes with Word 2016. The original Office.js release was very focused on the async functions. It was challenging, though, to do batch operations, and it was very transactional to interact with a document. A new API is much more similar to the SharePoint CSOM. All actions that target Word documents start by using the client request context returned by the Word.requestContext method. The client request context serves two major roles. It contains a queue of all the commands that will be performed on the contents of a Word document, and it also provides a bridge between the Office add-in and the Word application since they run in two different processes. The JavaScript runs in the user's browser with the task pane. Word runs in a different process, and in the case of Word Online, on a remote server cluster. The Word JavaScript objects created in the add-ins are local proxy objects, invoking methods and setting property queues, the set of commands in JavaScript, but it does not submit them until the execute async is called. Execute async submits the request queue to Word and returns a promise object, which can be used for chaining further commands. Execute async runs each command in the order in which they were added to the queue. A best practice is to group related commands into a single execute async call. The load method specifies which collections, objects, and properties will be loaded into the Office object model. You can use the client request context to specify the load options and load the objects to load. There are two options for using the load method. You can select the option to load properties that are primitive types. You can either select a string or an object literal to specify which properties you want to load. For example, if you're going to make a simple load statement, you don't need to create an object literal to specify the property. You can use the expand option to load properties that are nested in Word API objects and collections. Using the range object from the previous examples, we can load the paragraph collection and font object for the range of specifying the objects in the expand option. We identify which properties are returned in the select statement. I want to leave you with some related documentation and code samples. On MSDN, there's a create task pane add-in with document for how to create them using NAPA Office 365 development tools. I'm also going to leave you with the Word add-ins documentation link and the JavaScript API for Office, which includes that screenshot that I showed you earlier in the slides. There's also a related code sample here. If you go to dev.office.com/code samples, and then you can apply the filter for Office add-ins to see a list of all the different add-in samples that are available on GitHub from dev.office.com. In this module, I introduced you to add-ins for Word and how to develop add-ins for Word. We looked at how to read and write to documents. We looked at document bindings, packaging and deployment, and some changes that were introduced with Word 2016. Microsoft offers multiple ways to get in touch with them and also to stay up to date on what's going on. One of the things is the Developer Program Watch. What the Developer Program is all about is allowing you to sign up and get email newsletters, free developer subscription to Office 365, which will give you a 1 year free to a Office 365 tenant, free training, free tools, and free webinars that they'll publish on a periodic basis. Using this Developer Program, you'll be able to stay in touch and up to date with all the latest and greatest offers and news and updates coming out of Office 365 and Office development. You can sign up for it at dev.office.com/dev program. The Office team also provides multiple ways for you to sign up and to stay in touch with what's going on. From the Office 365 network and Yammer, to staying in touch on Twitter using the Office Dev handle, you can also ask questions on Stack Overflow using the tag ms-office. We have multiple podcasts as well. If you go to dev.office.com to sign up for different podcasts, such as the Office 365 Developer Podcasts. In Channel 9, there's a developer show as well, the Office 365 Developer Show that comes out on a weekly basis. You can also find out about a bunch of different quick demos. You can find those at YouTube if you go to aka.ms/o365devsnackdemos. And then finally, do you have feedback for the team? Do you have ideas for new features? Do you have changes that you'd like to see implemented? Submit them on User Voice by going to officespdev.uservoice.com, where you can submit your ideas, and then you can also vote on other people's ideas and provide comments to the team. The engineering team looks at these issues on a periodic basis and a regular periodic basis and triages them to look to improve them and add things to the product going forward. Thank you very much for taking a few minutes of your time to watch this screencast.